This is Galesburg's Evening News on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. Thanks for joining us tonight. We talked a little bit yesterday with Congresswoman Sherry Bustos about the newest health care bill making its way through Congress, but we want to get a more detailed look at it now. And one person that can do that for us is John Gregory. He's based in Chicago. He's a former state government reporter, among other things. But John these days is reporting on health care for healthexec.com. John, thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me, Will.
Glad to have you, for sure. And first question, first of all, give me a little bit of the Reader's Digest version of what this bill is and what it's supposed to do.
The bill, which is most commonly called the Graham-Cassidy bill after its two chief architects, Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina and Senator Bill Cassidy of Louisiana, who is both a doctor and both of them are Republicans. The big crux of the bill is it turns most of the funding for the Affordable Care Act's insurance subsidies and the expansion of Medicaid into a block grant that states then have more, as they argue, flexibility to divvy up as they see fit. And it also gets rid of some of the most unpopular parts of the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, like the individual mandate and the employer mandate, the penalties for employers not offering health insurance, and the tax penalty for an individual who chooses to go uninsured.
So it sounds like we could argue that there are things in this bill that people might like, but much like the other attempts at so-called Trump care, it's not winning all that favor among lawmakers in Washington, is it?
Well, it's taken a surprising trajectory. If you asked most Republicans a week ago, they didn't want to talk about this bill. They weren't taking it seriously. They had moved on from attempts to repeal and replace Obamacare. And seemingly in the past week, it's come it basically come back from the dead, and it's thanks to this plan. That's because Republicans have until September 30th to pass some sort of repeal and replace plan with only 50 votes in the Senate under the process that your listeners may have heard of called budget reconciliation. That authority expires after September 30th. If they wanted to do it after that, they would either have to wait till next year or try to pass it with 60 votes, which just isn't going to happen because no Democrats in the Senate are going to vote for this thing. So it's kind of gained some momentum just because of that deadline. When it comes to the substance of the bill, it contains a lot of the same unpopular provisions that were in the earlier attempts to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act that failed in the Senate and failed initially in the House and then passed on the second try.
Hmm. Congresswoman Bustos yesterday described to us on this program, she more or less said that she sees it as worse than the last attempt. Is that how Democrats are reading it this time?
It is a more radical change because of the block grant. And for those who don't know exactly what a block grant is, it would basically be a set amount of funding for states, unlike what Medicaid has always been, where it fluctuates based on the number of beneficiaries. This would be a set amount that each state gets, not only for Medicaid, but also for the funding under the Affordable Care Act. So say premiums go up right now under the Affordable Care Act, people using healthcare.gov, the marketplaces, are protected from premium increases as long as their income isn't above a certain level because they get subsidies for buying insurance. That wouldn't be the case now under this bill because states get a set amount of funding. If premiums go up above that, it's up to the state governments to come up with more funding to cover it. And as you know, in the case of Illinois, that's not going to be so easy. And it's also more radical because of what it does to states like Illinois that chose to expand Medicaid. It really, generally under the formula used for this block grant, it's going to be a redistribution of money from states like Illinois that expanded Medicaid to states which didn't. And that's largely a redistribution of federal funds from blue states to red states.
Maybe I'm helping you hearken back to your days covering state government here, John. But if I remember right, Governor Rauner wasn't a big fan of the Affordable Care Act, but kind of backed off a lot of that after he took office, didn't he?
He didn't weigh in a lot, but in the case of something like this, it would be understandable that he would back off, because when you're in state government, you don't want to hear your federal funding is being pulled. And in Illinois, that would be the case under a bill like this. For example, there was an estimate that just came out yesterday from a group called the Kaiser Family Foundation, and they estimated for Illinois between 2020, which is when most of the provisions of this bill would go into effect, and 2026, Illinois would lose a combined $1.8 billion in federal health care funding from both block granting the subsidies for ACA coverage and putting a cap on Medicaid. So for a state government, say someone in state government who may, if they were at the federal level, oppose a law like the ACA, they still don't want to lose that funding and have that put budget pressures on them at the state level.
I know a lot of your focus, John, is on the healthcare industry in terms of covering this. What's the industry saying? I can't imagine that either hospitals or insurance companies are too particularly fond of this.
Oh, they all hate it. It's the same. It's been the same pretty much for all of these repeal and replace plans. All of the major healthcare organizations have been against them almost uniformly, which is a surprising kind of consensus from different sectors of the healthcare industry. I know the Illinois Hospital Association, locally for us here in the state, is against it, along with the American Hospital Association, the American Medical Association, groups representing doctors and health insurers. America's Health Insurance Plans, which is the largest health insurance lobby, came out against the plan yesterday, and they've been at least a little more silent on certain healthcare bills, but this is one they came out firmly against. So across the board within the industry, they don't like it. They don't want to see a big rise in the number of uninsured, because at a business level, for say a hospital, that just results in more people coming into the ER, people they can't turn away, and that results in more bad debt and uncompensated care they have to try to write off their financial reports at the end of the year. They don't want to see that happen, and that's why they've been pretty much uniformly against Republican attempts at repeal and replace this year.
I've got less than a minute, John, but it seems like along with the most previous attempt, this is moving its way through Congress kind of pretty quickly, but maybe not quite at the same fast pace as the last attempt did, is it?
I would say actually it is going even faster, because this is not going to get a full analysis from the Congressional Budget Office. Because of that September 30th deadline, they're planning on holding one hearing for it next week. It's been criticized that one of those, it's going to be discussed in the Senate Homeland Security Committee, which, as you would imagine, does not have much experience in debating healthcare legislation.
No.
And then it's going to go to the Senate floor. So it's moving even faster than it did the last time.
Wow.
And it looks like it's going to come down to some other dramatic vote. And then goes to the House, where they might hit more speed bumps than they're figuring on.
Yeah. All right. John Gregory, a reporter based in Chicago with healthexec.com. Thanks again for your time. We'll definitely be watching this as it quickly goes forward, it seems. Thanks again.
Always a pleasure, Will.
All right. Thanks. John Gregory with healthexec.com on Galesburg's Evening News. We'll check sports next on WGIL.